Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sound Studios in Flagstaff. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. How music can bridge generational differences. With so much driving us apart, music offers opportunities for solace and bridge building. By Mark Friedman and Trent Stamp. April 17, 2025. Intergenerational duets are having a moment. Paul Simon, 83, and Sabrina Carpenter, 58 years younger, cold opened Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary show, performing Homeward Bound together. We saw Dick Van Dyke and Chris Martin, 52 years apart, sing and dance in a recent video for the Coldplay song All My Love. Luke Combs covered Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, recorded the year before Combs, who's 34, was born. At the 66th Grammy ceremony, they performed together to wild acclaim. There's more. Brandy Carlile and Joni Mitchell, Dolly Parton and Beyoncé, Elton John and Dua Lipa, Kendrick Lamar and Run DMC, not to mention Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. Popular music seems an odd stage for a revolution in good generational vibes. After all, the business of music is skewed toward selling the sex appeal of edgy young artists. So, why is music telling this story of cross-generational collaboration and affection? Why now, when so many media headlines tout the opposite, a war between the generations, at each other's throats over power, jobs, housing, entitlements, climate, and more? Finally, how can we move beyond tunes that reverberate to actual reconciliation across divides? Music transcending divisions. There is a long-standing tradition of generations coming together across musical genres, including in blues, jazz, gospel, and rock. Younger musicians often revere those who came before them, and older ones are often eager to share what they've learned. Examples abound. One of the most stirring scenes in Questlove's documentary about the 1969 Harlem Music Festival, Summer of Soul, features an elder Mahalia Jackson together with an up-and-coming Mavis Staples singing the gospel standard, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. The Torch, an acclaimed 2019 documentary, tells the story of 80-something blues legend Buddy Guy's collaboration with Quinn Sullivan, a 20-something guitar phenomenon from the Chicago suburbs. Perhaps no genre has embraced the intergenerational ethos more fully than jazz. Take the bond between 28-year-old Grammy-winning pianist Luther Allison and his 70-year-old mentor Donald Brown of the Jazz Messengers. Brown and other older jazz greats were inspiration for Allison's breakout album, I Owe It All to You. In an interview, he explained that the album was an exercise in gratitude toward and collaboration with all those who have invested in me and supported my musical development. Beyond tradition, there's pleasure. These collaborations just sound good, and there's a reason, one that extends beyond music. Harvard professor Arthur Brooks argues that older and younger people possess complementary skills, what he calls fluid young people and crystallized older people intelligence. These musical collaborations illustrate a variation, combining the confident power of younger artists and the wizened vulnerability of older ones produces something distinctive and different from same age combinations. One vivid example is the late Kris Kristofferson's duet with Brandi Carlile at Joni Mitchell's 75th birthday party in 2018. They came together to sing Mitchell's A Case of You. In between swapping verses and joining in harmonies, Carlile helps an occasionally faltering Kristofferson remember the song's lyrics. The result is magical. It's one thing to tell about the unique value of older and younger people coming together. It's another to show what it looks like and sounds like. Musical healing across generations. Music may be the perfect stage for generational collaboration because we're wired to respond positively to it. Research shows that one of the most important things grandmothers have done through time is to sing to young children. Neuroscientists now believe that music is a critical ingredient in sustaining health. In his recent book, I Heard There Was a Secret Chord, scholar Daniel Levitin describes music as a kind of medicine treating, in one way or another, a range of afflictions, including dementia and cognitive decline. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma goes further, arguing that music is a kind of social medicine as well, connecting and healing generations. The increasing popularity of intergenerational duets didn't come at a better time. For all the attention to aging of American society, arguably the most important demographic development today is age diversity. Research from Stanford shows that we now have approximately the same number of people alive at every age from birth to 75. A quarter of the population is under 20. A quarter is over 60. In other words, there are a lot of Paul Simons and Sabrina Carpenters in roughly equal proportion. Fortunately, innovative music initiatives in communities across the country are illuminating ways to make this idea real in the lives of the not-so-famous and in areas of urgent national importance. Mind and Melody addresses the dementia crisis by connecting young musicians and older ones in memory care settings. Music serves as a light bulb switch in the brain, says the program's director, Oriana Gutierrez, helping connect participants with themselves and the world around them. Now operating in 36 cities in Florida, New York, and New Mexico, the program connects people with music sessions virtually and in person. That's how Mala, an Auschwitz survivor born in Poland and living in Miami Beach, met Amelia, 58 years her junior. Turns out Amelia, a musician living in Tallahassee, is the daughter of a Holocaust survivor who rarely spoke of his experiences. Mala introduced Amelia to Jewish songs and prayers, unlocking a heritage Amelia had never fully embraced and giving her a newfound appreciation for her identity. Through their shared songs in Yiddish and Hebrew, the two women forged a deep emotional connection. Proximity, purpose, and partnership. At Arizona State University, Mirabella is a high rise that houses elders on campus, helping to bring generations together while creating a new model for senior housing. The arrangement makes it possible for music-loving older folks and grad students to live and play side by side. Grad students like Michelle Kim, a Canadian pianist who immigrated from South Korea as a child, and elders like Emily Ziegler, a white retired Wall Street lawyer from New York. 50 years apart in age, both had, with great reluctance, given up the flute in their youth. Kim to focus on piano and Ziegler on academics. When they discovered their shared history, the two vowed to rectify it. Soon, they were playing flute duets, not only with and for each other, but in performances at the university and in the surrounding community. They forged a friendship, one bridging multiple dimensions. In Los Angeles, the Eisner Intergenerational Orchestra brings older and younger musicians together to play, and also to cross barriers of race and culture while healing one of LA's most ravaged communities. It proved life-saving for at least one young musician. After severe bullying from high school classmates, violist Isabella Meir was suicidal and losing hope when she discovered the orchestra. "Why don't I just go and play for one of my last times?" she asked herself. "And I went, and I just felt so at home, like I had a new family," she explained during a recent webinar. "It really gave me a reason to keep going." 9 years later, she's the principal violist in the orchestra. Those stories reveal a formula for making the most of our multi-generational future, one characterized more by harmony than discord. In each of these examples, we see the intersection of proximity, older and younger in each other's company. Purpose, the shared commitment to something, in this case, music. And partnership, not just being together, not just sharing an interest, but doing something together. That collaboration can be the crucible for understanding, appreciating, and accomplishment in and beyond music. The myriad potential benefits of intergenerational musical collaboration include mental and physical wellness, social healing across difference, and a healthy dose of joy. But perhaps the most fundamental gift is a sense of wholeness of life as past, present, and future come together in ways that enriched all three and create some great music in the process. About the authors, Mark Friedman is the founder and co-CEO of CoGenerate and the founding faculty director of the Yale Experienced Leaders Initiative. He is author, most recently, of How to Live Forever, The Enduring Power of Connecting the Generations. And Trent Stamp is CEO of the Eisner Foundation, the nation's only foundation funding solely intergenerational solutions. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. The benefits of building a shared reality with your partner. Seeing the world the same way your partner does can reduce uncertainty and make life more meaningful, especially during chaotic times. By Elizabeth Hopper, April 21st, 2025. Think of a time when you realized you thought about the world the same way as someone you're close to. Maybe you shared an inside joke with a friend, or you reacted to a story in the news and knew instantly that your partner would have the same opinion. Psychologists call this experiencing a shared reality with someone else, and it's something we can experience both in ongoing relationships as well as in shorter interactions with strangers. Researchers have found that experiencing a shared reality, that is, seeing the world as someone else does, connects to benefits such as a feeling of closeness. And when we're trying to make sense of something ambiguous, we feel more confident in our interpretation when we feel that the person we discussed it with has a shared reality with us. A new set of studies highlights another advantage. Having shared reality with one's romantic partner helps people make sense of the world and, in turn, experience a greater level of meaning in life. According to the paper, which was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, this can even buoy us through times of stress and uncertainty, mattering to each other. Researchers asked participants who were in their relationships to fill out questionnaires about their relationship quality, meaning of life, and sense of shared reality with their partner, as measured by statements such as, "We typically share the same thoughts and feelings about things." For 96 couples, the researchers also analyzed their behaviors during a short interaction, where one member of the couple talked about their greatest fear. The researchers then analyzed videos of the interaction to assess how much shared reality seemed to be present. For example, how often members of the couple voiced agreement or finished the other's sentences, as well as how much love and affection people expressed for their partner during the interaction. The researchers find that participants with a stronger sense of shared reality, as measured both by questionnaires and their behavioral expressions of shared reality during the interaction, tend to report a greater sense of meaning in life. Moreover, this result can't fully be accounted for by how satisfied they are with their relationships. Although relationship satisfaction may explain some of the link between meaning in life and scores on the shared reality questionnaire, the link between shared reality behaviors and meaning in life persists even after accounting for how much love and affection participants expressed. In other words, validating your partner's sense of reality, showing that you see the world as they do, conveys benefits above and beyond just showing that you care about them. How might a shared reality support people during stressful or uncertain times? In two follow-up studies, the researchers studied two groups in a rapidly changing situation. Healthcare workers during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic and Black Americans in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. In a survey of 190 Black Americans in the spring and summer of 2021, the researchers found that partners with a stronger sense of shared reality report greater meaning in life. That is, a sense that we and our actions matter in the world. Additionally, the researchers find that this link can be partly explained by participants who feel in tune with their partner, also reporting less uncertainty about the current situation. In a study of over 100 healthcare workers in 2020, the researchers find that although shared reality doesn't directly predict higher levels of meaning at work, it predicts a reduction in uncertainty about one's work. And reduced uncertainty is in turn related to finding one's work more meaningful. How to build a shared reality? Do momentary changes in one's sense of shared reality deliver similar benefits? To test this out, researchers asked 364 participants to recall either a time that they felt similarly to their partner or when they disagreed on something. Participants were then asked to indicate how much uncertainty they felt about the topic, as well as how meaningful their life felt at the current moment. The researchers find that recalling an event where the participant agreed with their partner causes less uncertainty. Additionally, feeling less uncertain is connected to a greater sense of meaning in life. Thus, although experiencing shared reality doesn't directly increase feelings of meaning, it indirectly contributes to feelings of meaning because it makes participants feel more certain. However, experiencing a high degree of shared reality can backfire if it doesn't leave room for new ideas. Catalina Enstrom, postdoctoral research scholar at IESE Business School and lead author of the paper, points out that a high degree of shared reality might limit openness to alternative perspectives or reinforce echo chambers. Future research may be needed to tease out exactly when shared reality is and is not helpful. For people who might be feeling a bit out of sync with their partner, Enstrom suggests several ways to boost a sense of shared reality. And here are her three tips. Make time for open communication. Second, share activities like preparing a meal together. And third, reflect on memories and goals. Not only can creating a shared reality with your partner increase closeness and reduce uncertainty about the world, you might discover that life feels more meaningful overall. About the author. Elizabeth Hopper, PhD, received her PhD in psychology from UC Santa Barbara and currently works as a freelance science writer specializing in psychology and mental health. You have been listening to Greater Good Magazine, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.